Under the Trust's management, local volunteers at CALPRM threw themselves into whatever projects appealed to each volunteer's own interest.
Among the projects that I saw, one volunteer was devoting herself to a small endangered kangaroo species whose population she was trying to restore. Another volunteer preferred to poison foxes, and still other volunteers were attacking the ubiquitous problem of rabbits, seeking ways to control introduced carp in the Murray River, perfecting a strategy for non-chemical control of insect pests of citrus trees, restoring lakes that had become sterile, revegetating overgrazed land, and developing markets for growing and selling local wildflowers and plants controlling erosion. Literally tens of thousands of other such private initiatives are operating around Australia. Complementing these private initiatives are government initiatives that include a radical rethinking of Australian agriculture in response to growing awareness of the seriousness of Australia's problems. The proposals are not coming from idealistic bird-loving environmentalists, but from hard-nosed economists who are asking themselves, would Australia be better off economically without much of its present agricultural enterprise? The background to this rethinking is the realization that only tiny areas of Australian land currently being used for agriculture are suitable for sustained agricultural operations. While 60% of Australia's land area and 80% of its human water use are dedicated to agriculture, agriculture now contributes less than 3% of the gross national product. That's a huge allocation of land and scarce water to an enterprise of such low value. About 80% of Australia's agricultural profits are derived from less than 0.8% of its agricultural land. Most of Australia's remaining agriculture is, in effect, a mining operation that merely converts environmental capital of soil and native vegetation irreversibly into cash, with the help of indirect government subsidies in the forms of below-cost water, tax concessions, and free telephone link-ups and other infrastructure. Is it a good use of Australian taxpayers' money to subsidize so much unprofitable and destructive land use? Even from the narrowest point of view, some Australian agriculture is uneconomic to the individual consumer, who can buy products more cheaply as imports from overseas than as domestic produce. Much agriculture is also uneconomic to the individual farmer, as measured by what is termed profit at full equity. That is, if one counts among a farm's expenses not only its cash expenditures, but also the value of the farmer's labor, two-thirds of Australia's agricultural land operates at a net loss to the farmer. That's the economic value of much Australian farming to the consumer and the farmer. What about its value to Australia as a whole? For any given piece of the farming enterprise, one has to take into account a broadened view of its costs to the entire economy, as well as its benefits. One big piece of those broadened costs is government support to farmers through means such as tax subsidies and expenditures for drought assistance, research, advising, and agricultural extension services. Those government expenditures eat up about one-third of Australian agriculture's nominal net profits. Another big piece of those broadened costs is the losses that agriculture imposes on other segments of the Australian economy. In effect, agricultural uses of land compete with other potential uses of the same land, and using one piece of land for agriculture may damage the value of another piece of land for tourism, forestry, fisheries, recreation, or even for agriculture itself. An example considers Australia's agricultural production of the greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide and methane. The carbon dioxide emissions from Australian agriculture exceed those produced by motor vehicles and all the rest of the transport industry. Even worse are cows, whose digestion produces methane, 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide in causing global warming. The simplest way for Australia to fulfill its stated commitment to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions would be to eliminate its cattle. While that and other radical suggestions have been put forward, there are currently no signs of their being adopted soon. It would be a first for the modern world if a government voluntarily decided to phase out much of its agricultural enterprise in anticipation of future problems before being forced in desperation to do so. Nevertheless, even the mere existence of these suggestions raises a larger point. Australia illustrates in extreme form the exponentially accelerating horse race in which the world now finds itself. On the one hand, the development of environmental problems in Australia, as in the whole world, is accelerating exponentially. On the other hand, the development of public environmental concern and of private and governmental countermeasures is also accelerating exponentially. Which horse will win the race? Many listeners of this book are young enough and will live long enough to see the outcome.